A while back, we received a phone call that somebody wanted to come and visit us, and we were told that it's an alumni of the school that desires to come and kind of just wander on the campus, and we said, sure. He said that he's from Indian Town Gap. We have here reserves that they're coming for practice, and he was part of that program. And he just wanted to come and see what's new because it was many, many, many years ago that he graduated. And I'm trying to give this gentleman a tour on a campus, but obviously you can't give a tour to somebody that lived here, right, for a couple of years. But I noticed one thing, that he was not really interested in anything. And I was like, this is kind of odd. So I'm trying to walk with him the outside. And one thing he said, I want to go to chapel. I was like, sure, so we're going to go to chapel, right? So we're coming to chapel. And the moment we open up these doors over here, he just runs down over here, falls down, and begins to weep like a baby. He begins to weep and cry out to the Lord because he needed the peace of God. He needed the mercy of God. He needed the Lord to touch him. I don't know fully who he was. I don't know fully his circumstances or what he was facing in life. But he knew one thing, that God had to meet him. And that's what he came. He was not interested from the outside to walk around. He was interested to come here. And he didn't care even that I was walking with him, and he felt a little awkward walking with him inside over here. And he just ran, fell down, and began to sob. At that point, I did not know what to do. The only thing that came to my mind is turn around and give him privacy. But one of the things that throughout this service, throughout the songs that we have heard this morning, throughout what Pastor Nick even shared before communion, it is the peace of the Lord that can come into our life despite of every wave that comes against us. It is the peace of God that cannot be explained sometimes. You see, sometimes we think that the peace of the Lord is something that is going to come into our life and push every problem away. And we are mistaken by thinking that way, that the peace of the Lord, it is an exchange of every situation that we face and just everything is perfect. No, despite what we go in life through, we can still have peace of God. We can still have this peace. And I found myself a few days ago late at night just crying out to the Lord, and God gave me this message. And I believe this is for some of us here today, that we need to understand that doesn't matter how far we are, doesn't matter how fast we're running, we need the peace of God that surpasses all understanding to fill our minds, to fill our hearts, because ultimately this is what we look for. Ultimately this is what we're after, because we want to rest. But this rest is only found in Jesus Christ. Yes, it sounds cliche for someone, sure, because we are so used to have everything point by point for everything to make sense. But let me tell you something, I cannot explain everything what happens spiritually. It's supernatural. But one thing I can tell you, that all the roads lead to Jesus Christ. If we're looking for peace, we find peace in Him. If we're looking for forgiveness, we find forgiveness in Him. If we're looking for healing, we find healing in Him. It's all about Him and through Him. Hallelujah. I can't explain it all, but this is what I know. And you might get annoyed that it's all about spiritual things, and yes, it is, because we're believers and we depend upon Him. Each one of us face seasons in our life where we can't go on. We feel like life is coming against us, storms are coming against us, and it seems like we can't move on. We can't wake up from our bed to face the day we live in. We have trouble going to sleep because we worry about what's gonna happen. We worry about other people, we worry about family, we worry about things that are around us that we have no control of. And yes, sometimes we blame God and we say, God, don't you care what I'm going through? You know, the disciples were in a similar situation. The Bible says that Jesus called a few of them to go with him to the other side, and he invited them to the boat, and they were so happy probably they're going to be spending time with Jesus, right? Enough of the crowds, enough of church service. Jesus, it's just you and me. We're just going to be in the bedroom, in the living room. It's just you and me. And storms come against them, and they find themselves battling the storms. But you see, they accuse Jesus of saying, don't you care about our lives? Don't you care if we drown? Don't you care if we crash our lives? Don't you care if we just go on empty. But Jesus responded in kindness. He did not respond the way they deserved probably in that moment. But he says, oh, you have a little faith. Put your trust in me. Put your faith in me. And I will teach you how to rest in the storm. You see, Jesus calmed the storms down, not for his sake, because he knew and he learned and he knew how to rest in the storm. He calmed them down for the sake of the disciples. He calmed them down for the sake of the people that were still struggling in life, that they did not understood fully what it means to rest in the storm. And later on, as we read that Peter, out of all the disciples, Jesus calls him and now he walks upon the waters, right? Because he learned one thing, to trust the Lord in the storms. And the moment he began to look again at the storms of life, at the waves that are coming against him, he began to drown. But Jesus picked him up and helped him. Took him by the hand and reminded him one more time that the walk we have in life, we're not exempt from storms, but he's going to be with us in the storms. He's with us. And we're not alone. There's so many other people that are facing the same thing that we face, but he's with us. And the title of my message is "The Peace That Surpasses All Understanding." It is the peace of the Lord that only can come from him, that can fill our minds and hearts through Christ Jesus. John 14 verses 1 and verse 27 says this, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." Verse 27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you, not as the world gives do I give you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, nor let it be afraid or fearful." There is a moment when Jesus reminds his disciples, you will face things in life that you'll be afraid. You'll face things in your life that you'll want to run for your life. But let me tell you something. I gave you a weapon that can come every storm in your life. It is the peace of God that can come upon us by the power of the Holy Spirit. When we come to him and say, God, I need you. I need you. Jesus tells his disciples not to be troubled. Are you serious in the world we live in, not to worry, not to be troubled? Yes, not to be troubled, but to trust him. And some commentators are saying trusting him does not mean that all of our life circumstances change for the better. It doesn't mean, because this is sometimes what we think, that all of the circumstances we face will change for the better. No, but that his followers will have peace as they endure trials and difficulties in their life. As followers of Jesus Christ, in the midst of everything we go through, we have the ability to possess something that God offers me and you, the peace. The peace that comes from him. Hallelujah. There was a man that comes to my mind from the Word of God by the name of David. And if anybody knew how to go through valleys and hills and mountains, it was David. It was David. There was a time in David's life where he felt empty and far away from God. Some commentators believe that David wrote this psalm that I'm about to read. And he wrote the psalms in a time, either in the time when he was persecuted by Saul or Absalom's rebellion. It was a difficult moment that he faced in his life. And during this time, it's believed that he wrote this psalm. By this event, he was driven from the sanctuary and cut off from the privilege of waiting upon God's presence publicly to do ordinances. It was a moment where David was coming to a place where he was worshiping the Lord. And he had this desire to commune with the Lord. But now he's running for his life. Now his life is being threatened. And this is the expression now of what is going inside of his heart. He's writing down on the pages of Psalm 42 verses 1 through 11. And he says, "As the deer pants for the streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. And this is what he's saying in a time of he feels empty, dried up. He feels maybe a little bit even depressed to a point that my son is against me now. And in the midst of those issues, he says, my soul thirsts for you, O God. Where are you? Where are you? I have the kingdom. I have everything. And now I've seen in my life how you moved mightily. How Goliath was killed. How the throne was given to me supernaturally. How against my enemies you were faithful. And now I'm running for my life. What is your promises? My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? You see, it is a question that he has. God, what is the time that I'm going to meet you again? What is the time that I'm going to go and experience your presence again? When is the time that I'm going to talk to you and feel that I'm filled with your presence because I feel empty and dry? Verse 3, my tears have been my food day and night. I thought that the word of God should be our food, right? I thought that coming into prayer and praying and worshiping the Lord, that should be our food. But David over here says, nothing can satisfy my soul right now because I feel empty and dry. As the deer is dried, as the deer is thirsty for waters, as the deer is looking for those puddles of water that is willing to drink anything just not to be thirsty. This is how my soul is. God, anything, anything do you have for me for today? Just anything. And this is how David feels. And he says, instead of your word, instead of your presence to be my food, it is the tears that I'm weeping are my food. The things that I'm dealing with, the hurt, the misconceptions, my sin, my past, the uncertainty, my failure, my disappointment, my family, my marriage, all of these things are leading me to a place of emptiness now. And now all of a sudden I find myself weeping because there is nothing left in me. And this is my food now day and night. And not only that, but now while people say to me all day long, where is your God? Where is your God? You have entrusted your life to the Lord. You were born again. You came to a point in your life that you'd given your life to Jesus Christ. But now the enemy is making fun of you. Where is your God? And you look at the neighbors that live like the devil, and it seems like they have a better life than you have by following Jesus Christ. And sometimes we face those things in life. These things I remember as I pour out my soul. How I used to, you see over here he says, how I used to. He talks about the moment that he remembers in the past, how I used to go into the house of God. You see, sometimes we remember the things in the past, how we used to come to the house of the Lord, how we used to come to a place in our room and we just feel the presence of God and we're just in awe what he's doing in life. And today, my story and your story might be, it's not about now, but it's about how I used to. I used to experience God. I used to talk with him. I used to feel him. I used to walk with him. But now I find myself far away from him, under the protection of my Almighty One. With shouts of joy and praises among the festive throng, why, my soul, are you cast down? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him. Now David is talking to himself, and sometimes we need to do that, to remind ourselves, listen, God has been faithful in the past, he will be faithful now. He has been faithful in the past, he will be faithful now. Let's put our trust and faith in him again, because he will do the impossible. My soul is downcast within me, therefore I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, the nights of Hermon, from the mountains of Mizar. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and the breaks have swept over me. By day the Lord directs his love, and by night his songs is within me. A prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forsaken me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my voice taunt me, saying to me all day long, not only in the morning, not only in the dreams, not only at a lunch break, but all day long, this is how he feels. And he says, where is your God? Why, my soul, are you cast down? Why so disturbed within me? And over here he concludes with this beautiful, beautiful words. Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Doesn't matter what circumstances we face in life, there should be a praise in our mouth. Even if it's a whisper, even if it's a thought in our mind, God, I praise you. God, I praise you. This should be our song in the battle that we face from day to day. This past weekend, I was at the funeral in Seattle, and one of the brothers was sharing a life story with the parents that lost their son. And one of the things that he said just shook me. He began to share to encourage the parents and say, I lost two of my sons. He did not go in detail how he lost them, but he was mad at God. He was upset. He did not know how to live on, how to move on. He was facing depression, agony, and pain. He had a lot of questions in life, and this was going for a while. And he began to share that one day he was driving in the roads of Kyiv, Ukraine, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit began to speak to him and ask him a question. Are you having a grateful heart? Have you ever thanked me for everything in your life? Have you ever thanked me even for this situation? Don't you know that I'm in control? And he said that he pulled over. And he began to weep. He began to weep and weep. And the mustard seed of a little strength that he had, he began to say, thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And freedom came into his life. The circumstances did not change in him. His sons never came back to him. But the peace that surpasses all understanding came into this man's life. And he began to cry out to the Lord. He says, God, you did this for me. Now you have to do this for my wife. And he came home and he began to share with his wife. And together they began to thank God for everything in their life. Even though they did not understand all the circumstances. They did not have the story in full. But they said, God, you know everything. We thank you and we trust you. And this is what David is saying. Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. And this is what one of the things me and you should do in our life. When things are coming against us, let there be a song of rejoicing. Let there be a song of thanksgiving. Let there be a song of exalting him. Let there be a song of saying, God, I cannot understand everything right now, but one thing I know, that you are my rock. Unmovable, unshakable. And I trust you. I trust you. And for that reason, I'm gonna trust you. We can rest in the storms. We can rest in the storms we face in life. Years ago, after we got married, we were working, and all of a sudden my wife was not feeling the best. And we went for a checkup. They did some tests. And one day she received a phone call from the doctor, and they said, well, we just want to let you know that your test came back as cancerous. You have cancer. And the pain that she felt, the emptiness she felt in that moment, all what she did, she just ran to me to my office. I did not even know what is going on. She just began to weep, and I just began to weep with her. And we did not know all the details, but there was something in my heart. Listen, I cannot explain to you, but there was this peace. There was this peace. That God, you are in control. Doesn't matter what happened, you are in control. We don't know what the next step is, but you are in control. And next thing you know, it took a little bit of time. They're calling back by mistake and they're saying, listen, I'm so sorry. We actually messed up the test. It was not your test, it was somebody else's test. But there was a time of testing for me and for her. What are we gonna do with a story like that? It was a time, a period in our life where everything was shaken around us. We were coming to conclusions. But no, God has a different story. Hallelujah. God can override things and God can do miraculous things. But sometimes we are allowed to go through things in life so we can experience the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. How can we share with somebody about this peace if we will never experience it? How can we experience this peace that surpasses all understanding if we do not face trials and tribulations in life? God is with you, my brother, my sister, and He will not let you down. Another story that came to my mind, while my wife was pregnant with our third child, we began to do tests and go to the ultrasound, and they began to see some complications. They could not see the spine. Doesn't matter how many ultrasounds we went through, it's just they could not see the spine, and there were other complications that were concerning. And they just told us all of the worst things. And one of the things that was that this baby can be born with the spine being not correct. And now the enemy is playing with your mind, right? He seems like the heartbeat is fine, everything is fine, but they cannot see the spine. And one of the results of all the problems that they told us this baby can have, it is heart problems, spine problems, and all of the above. And we're just living with this thing for months. Only a few close people that knew about this, and we're just praying. I remember one time I was on a phone with Pastor Tim, and Pastor Tim Delina just reminded me, listen, don't live with that. Just live up for today, with today, and thank Him. Let's trust the Lord. Don't come to conclusions what's going to happen tomorrow. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And also, don't give false hope to your wife. Oh, this is going to be like this or like that. Deal with the reality. But trust the Lord today. Today, don't come to conclusions. What about that and that? We already built what's going to be a year ahead. No, no, no. Let's face today. Today. And I can tell you that I came to a moment and I began to just thank God. Lord, this is your baby. This is a gift from you. It belongs to you. Doesn't matter what happens. It belongs to you. Give us the grace to walk. Give us the grace. Give us the strength we need. And we were held in suspense about this baby's health till the day this baby was born. Think about that. We knew for months. Till the day the baby was born, we were in suspense that there can be major complications with this baby. And the baby was born perfectly. Perfectly fine. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And through this time, God was teaching us to have peace. Peace that surpasses all understanding. Peace that cannot be explained. Peace that only can be given by the power of the Holy Spirit. This peace that gives you the strength to face today. Not tomorrow, today. And tomorrow He's going to give you peace again that you will face tomorrow. This peace that only can come from Him. I cannot explain to you. You have to live it out. But I can tell you it is possible. It is possible that God can give us this peace. Hallelujah. As the worship team comes, we're going to be going into a closing. And as I mentioned in the beginning about this story, about the disciples, that it's written in Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. I'm just going to recap the story that over here says, let us go over to the other side. You see, it's a journey, it's action that God is calling me and you to move. To move. He does not call us to stay stagnant. He's not calling me and you to just stay where you were yesterday. They said, no, no, no. A Christian walk, it's action. It's moving forward. And now He's taking the disciples. He's spending time with them. He says, let us go from the multitude of people. Let us go to the other side. And leaving the crowd behind, they were just having a great time in the boat. And the storm arose, as I mentioned before. And Jesus was resting. Jesus was resting. The Bible says Jesus was in the stern sleeping on a cushion. You see, there was a cushion in the storm as well. So you don't let too hard, right? But the disciples, they were going nuts. They were going nuts. They're waking Him up in the moment. They say, don't you care about me? Don't you care about my life? You have called me to follow you. We have left the business. We have left everything behind us. We're following you. And now you have called us to go into this journey to the other side. And you have set everything up for me now to die. And this is, might be your life or my life at times, that we feel like, God, you fooled me. I've trusted you with everything. I heard the gospel. I thought if I come to you, everything you'll be taken care of. Why am I facing storms? Why am I facing tribulations in my family? Why am I facing difficulties? Why am I facing all of these things? God, do you even care? Do you even care about me? And sometimes this can be something in our minds, even in our hearts, that we face. But you see, when Jesus got up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves. You see, he did not rebuke them first. He rebuked the wind and the waves and said, peace, be still. I don't think by accident he said peace. He could have said storms, chill out. He could have said that. But no, he said peace. Peace, be still. And the Bible says the disciples were amazed that even the storms and the winds listen and obey him. And he turned to his disciples and he began to talk to them. He says, you of little faith. In different words, he's saying, at times you will feel empty. At times you will feel like you don't have faith. At times you will feel like you're alone. But you're not alone. I am with you. I might be resting because I know the outcome. Jesus knows the outcome of our life. And that's why he is perfect. But also, he does not leave us in the middle hanging. He does not leave us and say, you know what, just figure it out. No, no, no. Because in the moments in our life, there are certain moments when we need him to come and say, peace to the storm. Peace to the storm. Because we can't handle it anymore. Let the peace that is above all understanding come into our lives and fill our minds and our hearts. This scripture comes to mind when Jesus was crucified. The disciples, they were thinking of different scenarios. What might have happened? We thought that if we follow him, we will take the kingdom by force. We thought that he's going to reign. We thought all of these things, but now they took him. Some disciples left on the road to Emmaus and discouraged. Some of them, they turn around and says, we don't know what to do. But they faced in life very, very hard moments. They felt empty, alone, discouraged, confused, uncertain. Fear was crippling their hearts. They don't know what's going to be in the future. Because ultimately that's what it was. They had trusted their lives to Jesus. And now Jesus is gone. What's going to be with our future? What's going to be tomorrow? Who's going to lead us? Who's going to guide us? And John chapter 20 verses 19 through 22. That Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. You see, they're meeting now and they're locking the doors. I don't know how many locks they had. 3, 4, 5. I'm not sure. But sometimes it's how we feel. We feel so alone and we feel so fearful about what might happen tomorrow, what might happen in an hour, what might happen with my life, what might happen with my family, what might happen with my marriage. We're so fearful. And all what we can do is just run and lock our door and just tremble in this fear. But the Bible says the perfect love of Jesus Christ has the power and the authority to cast out fear. Because we are not called to live in fear, but we are called to face fear head on and to call fear for what it is and to say, my soul, like David says, trust in God. Yes, I feel fearful. Yes, I feel far away, but trust in God because you are my rock. And the Bible says in those moments when they were together, I don't know what they were thinking. I don't know what they were talking. I don't know, maybe there was silence. Can you imagine? They were together and they're just looking at each other. Some are weeping, some are crying, some are wailing. Some are just looking for that peace. As I mentioned, that brother that came and ran to the front here in the beginning, he just began to wail. I don't know what they were looking for. I don't know what they were experiencing. I don't know what they were sharing. But one of the things that I know, that they were filled with fear. The Bible says they were filled with fear. And now I love this scripture. Suddenly, I love that. It was not 5 steps. It was not 10 steps to victory. But it was a sudden moment appointed by God in the middle of distress and fear, that somebody had to show up and break the atmosphere of fear loose. Suddenly, the Bible says Jesus was standing there among them, and he said to them the first words, "Peace be with you." He said, and he spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hands and his side. They were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. Again, he said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." Then he breathed onto them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Hallelujah. Suddenly, somebody showed up. Supernaturally, Jesus showed up and says, "I'm gonna breathe life in you again. I'm gonna cast out every fear from this room, and my presence is gonna come into your life. My presence is gonna come into your homes. My presence is gonna come into your family, and the fear that is captivating you is gonna be cast out in the name of Jesus. And I'm gonna give you the power of the Holy Spirit, that you will have the authority to cast out every demon possible that is trying to destroy you. And you can do this because I am giving you peace. Peace that only can come from God. Peace that surpasses all understanding. Peace over your family. Peace over your marriage. Peace over your children. Peace over your circumstances. Because I am a God of peace that will cast out fear, and you will walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Let the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, Philippians chapter 4 says, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will be with you. Will be with you. Oh, how much I need the peace of God. In whatever things you face in life, whatever challenges you face in life, I have another list here to go, but I'm not gonna go because we're gonna end now. We need the peace of God. Whatever me and you go through, we need the peace of God in our families, in our community, in our school, in our marriages. We need the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. For God to reassure us today that it's gonna be okay. And this is what we know. And this is what we've known in the past, and this is what we need today. God, I need you to just whisper to me that everything is gonna be okay. And this is my life and your life, and sometimes we need that. And as David says, my soul trusts in the Lord. I will yet worship you. My lips are not gonna be shut to thank you. Whatever what I face in life, give me the grace to say thank you. Because this is the greatest weapon that we have in our hands, to thank Him and to worship Him in the middle of the storm. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Father, thank you. God, I thank you that you have promised us peace that surpasses our understanding. God, at times we cannot explain. It only can be lived up. It only can be experienced in our lives. All what we know, that we're empty, far away, feel depressed and broken, and suddenly you showed up. Suddenly you came among the disciples and you broke the room. You broke that atmosphere in the room of depression, of fear, of darkness. And the first thing you said, peace, peace be to you, O Father. Hallelujah. God, would you speak peace today? You know why you gave me this word. You know the families, you know my brothers, my sister, you know my life, you know what we go through. Father, speak peace to us. Speak peace to us, oh Father, and teach us how to rest in the storm. As you were resting, Father, teach us to rest. And sometimes, yes, we know that we cannot rest, and we need you to come and say peace to the waves, as you shared with the disciples. God, I pray that you will lift us up today. I pray, oh God, that you will lift us up and that you will give us the grace that we need to move forward. In Jesus' name.